Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. For 21 days straight, the parking lot of the O'Fallon Park YMCA has been the front line for relief for the people trying to put their lives back together after a tornado struck St. Louis on May 16th. In those 3 weeks, long lines of cars snaking around the parking lot with volunteers moving tarps, pallets of water, towers of toilet paper, that has become the norm. And it's all unofficial. That is, this response has been an all-volunteer effort that's deployed itself into action. But after today, this place, dubbed the People's Response Hub, will close.
When we came out the day after the tornado, or the night of the tornado, and set up shop for the next day, we had no idea that it was going to bloom into a full-blown sort of relief hub. I think we saw ourselves as standing in the gap, and we anticipated the gap would be shorter than this. And we've extended twice, in part because there is not a clear pathway for the government to step in and hold the work that we are providing, or the services that we're providing in this footprint.
That was Kayla Reed, Executive Director and co-founder of Action St. Louis. Yesterday, our producer Danny Wisentowski visited the heart of the Response Hub Command Center at the O'Fallon YMCA. Reed was on our show just a couple weeks ago, talking about the scope of community responses across the city. Those efforts have involved multiple hubs and local groups like For the Ville and For the Culture STL. After today, those hubs, in their current locations, will be gone. Kayla Reed explained why.
What we are working on, still anchored in the need of this footprint, which the city is calling Zone C, so the neighborhoods that surround the two parks, Fairground and O'Fallon Park, is a new site to continue work primarily focused on supporting residents with immediate supply needs. That is, you know, transparently, we're still figuring out all the logistics and details of that because we're working mostly to set that up as an organization. And that's just going to take some time. So there will be a gap, which we're really sad about, but we'll be back very quickly.
The return of the People's Response Hub at a nearby location is expected within the next week. But Reed said that the wait on the city's relief services to ramp up continues.
In part, most of the hubs that exist across the three zones, so across the west side and north side of North City, really need material to give out. And so that has been really supported by some corporate donations, but for us, for example, we've like the powerhouse momentum of the People's Hub has been everyday people. And so for 3 weeks, they've been pulling out of their savings or spending their surplus income, or maybe not even their surplus income, on buying the things that we need every day. People follow us on social media and see our end of day list, and they come the next day with those things. And, you know, that has limits on how much we can get to give out to people who need it. And so the city has, you know, what we know is that they've leased out a warehouse. That warehouse is not operational yet, but the intent is to sort of centralize donations to bring them to sites versus the sites sort of being self-sufficient in bringing in what they need for the neighbors that they're serving. And so we're just waiting on, you know, details to be confirmed about all the sites across the three zones. But we certainly know that Zone C, we don't want to have a gap here because we just identify that this is, you know, the zip code most likely to be underinsured in this moment. Incredible damage after the storm and incredible need before the storm. And that's been, you know, exacerbated by the tornado.
After the tornado, Kayla Reed found herself coordinating hundreds of volunteers and the distribution of critical items like food and cleaning supplies. She said the reason she's taken on and remained in that role is simple.
I mean, I think what is true and the question that guides the people's response is, if we were not here, who would be? And I think our presence here has called attention to this area. I think our leadership here and the clarity on what folks need has set a standard of care and expectation of other organizations, city officials, the government writ large, on how to respond to communities that have long been divested in real time after something like a natural disaster. And so I think our presence has mattered deeply, not just to the residents, but to the sort of structure and response. And, you know, I saw someone ask the mayor a question about affiliations and people who don't always sit on the same team, and it's like we all should be on the team of making sure the people who were impacted by this tornado have what they need. And so we know that government is slow. That's not new. That's not specific to any one administration. And also, it's been 3 weeks, and so the plan needs to crystallize quickly because the need is still there, and because we are extending week by week, that creates instability to the neighbors that want us to stay but don't know if we're staying. And we're building our own communication systems to let folks know where we'll be and when we'll be there. And that's not necessarily the responsibility of a organizing institution like Action St. Louis, but we're standing in the gap because these are the communities we served. And so what I've told the administration, what I think everyone knows about Action St. Louis and For the Culture STL, is that we were here before, we'll be here during, and we'll be here after to ensure that residents get the support that they need on all fronts.
And there is still a significant need for such support. It's also unclear when help from the city or aid from the federal government will arrive. In the meantime, Reed said that the Action St. Louis team and its partners will continue advocating for people with holes in their roofs or no electricity who are living the best they can in such conditions.
I mean, they're not going to have the things that they need, just transparently. And on an essential level, we're providing things like bottled water, diapers and formula, adult diapers for people, and food. And if we're not here for a few days and the other hubs are closing as well, where do they go? And so we don't have a gap for the gap. And I think that is that's disappointing for sure. But my hope is that, you know, we're at the table in search of like figuring out what collaboration needs to look like. We're consistently giving feedback. We're consistently asking the questions that we know are important. Our team is full of organizers and business owners and consultants and former elected officials, people who know the inner workings of these systems are helping us navigate this. And so this team that has become sort of the People's Response family is very clear that like our work is not done. And we're just figuring out how to continue inside of the restrictions of, you know, we have to work with people to build these sorts of sites.
That was Kayla Reed, executive director and co-founder of Action St. Louis. She spoke yesterday with producer Danny Wisentowski at the People's Response Hub. We need to take a quick break. Coming up, we'll meet a volunteer group inspired by a Reddit post that is working to clear post-tornado debris. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. I'm Elaine Cha. At 3 weeks since the May 16th tornado, the work of recovery is far from over. The participation of everyday citizens across the region continues to be key. One of the many groups doing their part is the all-volunteer St. Louis Cleanup Crew. It's another group of regular folks whose members get together for a shared purpose. According to its website, the St. Louis Cleanup Crew's goal is a city where clean streets and green spaces are the norm, not the exception. And with me now are three members of the St. Louis Cleanup Crew: Matthew Walker, Joyce Wong, and Anil Pillai. Welcome to St. Louis on the Air.
Thank you.
So you all have been part of this disaster response, but I think it's important to point out that even before this storm, you all were coming together to clean up parts of St. Louis. And I understand that this got its start with a Reddit post some months ago. How is it that happened, Anya? Yeah.
So it was sometime in December of 2024. We saw this, somebody had posted the exit, Jefferson exit on 64. A photo just said, look at the trash. You know, it was just hard to fathom that a place in St. Louis is that trash ridden at that point that people see regularly. So some of us just said, hey, let's just go clean it up. And then like we set up a time Saturday at around noon. And we just showed up. It was three or four of us at the time. There's one person who was watching from the hotel next door decided to join us, which was very nice. And then we just cleaned that up. It was about 18, 19 large construction trash bags. And then we asked the city to like say, if you can clean up those bags, that'd be great.
Yeah.
City took some time, but they cleaned it up. We ended up from that point onwards, the response from the Reddit, when we posted some of the photos, the response was tremendous by the people. Then we just thought, hey, maybe this can be a regular feature. Then we just, that's where the group organically sort of formed. And then Matthew and Joyce was there in one of the cleanups and we just formed this group.
Okay. Yeah. Matthew, what were your thoughts going into that first meeting that happened?
Well, I was just kind of cleaning up litter on the side of the road. You know, that's always been something that I've wanted to do, which sounds kind of weird, but, you know, just to drive down the highway and see, you know, all the litter on the side and the exits. And, you know, it was one of those things that just I put some sort of like mental block on myself, like, oh, I couldn't do that, you know. And we noticed that it's kind of hard to figure out where exactly to volunteer. You know, do you reach out to MoDOT or the city or the county or who do you reach out to? So, you know, eventually then it made me realize, oh, you don't have to like be a part of some crazy organization or anything. You can just get out there and do it yourself. Mm-hmm. And so it was super inspiring to me. And I was so glad to just kind of help keep the ball rolling once it got started. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing kind of led to another. And now, you know, we do these regular cleanups, and yeah, we've had the opportunity to help with the storm cleanup as well.
And Joyce, as I understand, you are returning to St. Louis, where you've grown up, from Kansas City. I mean, how much of what Matthew has talked about as far as, you know, having sort of an impulse to do something and not knowing what to do was part of your story too?
Yeah, so I responded to Anil's called for a response to like clean up in Jefferson exit. And I was still living in Kansas City at the time. I like to go on trash walks, like where I'll just go on a walk and carry a trash bag with me and pick up neighborhood trash. And it felt like we were all kindred spirits and wanting to just like clean up our streets. So yeah, whenever I moved back in January, I knew I'd be involved in this group or at least some sort of guerrilla cleanup like this. Mm-hmm.
Anil, have you been involved with anything like this before or is this a first foray?
It was the first foray into this level of community involvement.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you say this level,
from my neighborhood, I used to do this. I still do it. I'm a trustee in our neighborhood. So I, you know, do a lot of community work in that level, right? So I never thought that I had enough time in my day-to-day week or even in a work week plus the weekend to actually go and do such a thing, right? But then you see the enthusiasm of my friends here, and it's a natural thing. You just make a chunk of time available in every weekend to go do something like that for our streets.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So then January is when you first got together.
Yeah.
So we're looking at some months later.
Yes.
Of course, there's been some weather that has happened here. But if we come to the point of the tornado, tell me about what your experience was on May 16th. And whether because of the volunteer work that you'd been doing in cleanup, whether you were already kind of thinking about that, Joyce?
Yeah, it was pretty immediate. we were all in different spots. Like, we didn't communicate right away, but like immediately we all kind of gone to certain groups or had other communications with people who were directly affected, or indirectly. Like, I know on Reddit, again, I saw lots of posts of people just being like, I'm driving up to O'Fallon Park or the Ville, and then they're getting involved. And so, like, that was my call to action there, too. Like, immediately, I didn't even check with our group. I just went up there and started volunteering and offering what I could to people in the neighborhood. And then pretty soon we got back involved with our group to make sure that we could like bring more people into these organized spaces.
Mm-hmm. What kind of activity was going on, you know, with the STL cleanup crew, you know, the site? Are you all still, you know, on the same or different but related Reddit threads, Matthew?
That's an interesting question, because there's been so many different avenues of information. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been kind of one of the challenges, because there's so many people who are doing their own thing, or, you know, there's so many wonderful groups in St. Louis that are just wanting to help. And so, yeah, I know on our Reddit page, you know, it's STL underscore cleanup crew on Reddit. And on there, you know, I had just been trying to share anything that I saw, you know, from the St. Louis page or, you know, from a news website, and just trying to share it and keep that information flow going, you know, just in the hopes that somebody will, the right person will get the information at the right mm-hmm. time and be able to help.
Okay. So the kind of just putting it out there and then we'll see what happens. Yeah. I understand that you all were out over the weekend. And this is a far cry from garbage bags and gloves. You were using chainsaws right. to clear trees. Anil, had you ever done that before?
Not at that level. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We had some minor storms in our neighborhood. I used a chainsaw to clean up just mm-hmm. a little bit branches, but these are massive trees, you know, mm-hmm. that has fallen across multiple yards, destroyed the fences. So we were fortunate enough to go and help them at that time. Like, I think it was last Saturday, I think mm-hmm. so. You know, the experience was valuable for me, because these storms are not going to, you know, end. This mm-hmm. is not the last storm that's going to hit St. Louis. So I got a little bit more confidence now using a chainsaw. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's the answer there.
Right.
Yeah.
How about for either of you, Joyce or Matthew? I mean, did you ever imagine that you'd be using a chainsaw to help?
I'm not in the business to learn that right now.
Oh, sure.
I think right now people should, like, I mean, for me, speaking for myself, like, I'm using my strengths. I'm someone who can, like, carry or push a wheelbarrow. Yeah.
Okay,
and
of course.
Load those things. Like, there's a lot of room for anyone who wants to be involved however they want to be. Mm-hmm. So whether you can physically be there and lift and carry items, you can be someone who breaks down trees and branches, mm-hmm. or you can be someone who knocks on doors and checks in on people and, like, makes sure that they're okay. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of places and roles that anyone can be involved in.
Yeah. Matthew, what skills have you maybe picked up or leaned on in particular over the last few weeks?
Yeah, well, as Anil mentioned, yeah, chainsawing was an interesting skill. When we started this group, you know, picking up litter, you know, on the side of highways and exits and whatnot, I didn't really think that we would it just didn't occur to me that we would have the opportunity to help with something like this. So yeah, it was, you know, I had borrowed my neighbor's chainsaw a few times, like for backyard maintenance and, you know, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like Anil said, we were all kind of breaking down this tree that was probably 100 plus years old, you know, that was just completely ripped up by the roots. And I would not have expected that, you know, to be where we are at this point. But, you know, we just kind of go where we're needed, and that's where we were needed.
Mm-hmm. And I think to that point, Matthew, that you're making, and Joyce, what you'd said about what people feel that they can do, what is also safe for people to do. Volunteers have been sustaining folks in places like St. Louis's O'Fallon Park neighborhood. And down the street from the People's Response Hub, our producer Danny Wisentowski ran into Kevin Johnson, who's been giving out hot dogs for 3 weeks and often sleeping overnight in his truck. Johnson said that he's expecting some things to change.
I am getting word that a lot of the assistance is pulling out. Yet I have several people that have told me that as long as I'm here, they will make sure that I can serve the people some food. And so I plan on being here until, I mean, I don't know. I really don't have a time restraint to. I do have business to run, and I may not personally be here, but I do know that this hot dog cart, right, will be here giving away hot dogs until, I guess, the Holy Spirit tells me I gotta go or it's time to go.
And that was Kevin Jackson down the street from the People's Response Hub yesterday. He spoke with our producer, Danny Wisentowski, about giving out hot dogs over the last few weeks and then sometimes spending overnights in his truck. What is it that stands out to you, Matthew, about the different ways that people are helping?
Yeah. So I really don't have words for, you know, what I've seen in terms of community response. Just like Joyce was mentioning, and, you know, kind of I think the general vibe out there is like, whatever skills you have, bring those, you know, whatever it may be, just bring those skills and you'll be able to help in some form, you know. And it's just like, I'm just in awe, you know, to see how everybody has come together and, you know, made personal sacrifices to be able to help their community, you know, just like Kevin, you know, that's a perfect example. It's so just really, really amazing and inspired to see the response from everybody.
Yeah. Anil, are the people that you've been meeting getting the help, you know, they need? Have you seen specific examples of that?
The one, I mean, we as volunteers, you know, we might or might not be able to give the full extent of the help to somebody who's looking for it. But the key point is that we are there and then we handle that situation. We are not professionals, right? That's a key point here. There are professional, crews out there. We have a regular job and we go there and help. But our lack of maybe our deficiency in that area is counteracted by the sheer number of us showing up in a particular place, right? So we all want, usually after the initial shock of such an incident wears off, everybody sort of craves that normalcy to return one way or the other. Mm-hmm. And when you see an area that's like sort of devastated, and you can just see when you drive by, right? What you're trying to do at that point is to, all of us in our own little ways, we are just trying to bring that area back to its normal shape. Mm-hmm. And in many ways we help. And if you are unable to help at that point, we usually hand that over to the next crew. So that's the reason why we need volunteers more and more and more in the coming weeks.
Mm-hmm. We heard from Kayla Reed earlier in the show, and she talked about a coming gap in the services in this area. And there is a lot of anticipation, and I would say there's demand for the city to become more involved. What are you hoping to see, Joyce, based on what you have seen in the coming weeks?
I think that, first of all, St. Louisans are pretty notorious for stepping in. And I've never experienced a time when people, strangers, come in and help other people. And I'm really proud of the city for continuing to show that sort of response. But yes, the government needs to be here to help. And I think, like a lot of people who are concerned and who've been wary about what kind of response we actually will receive from the government, that's kind of where I sit personally. Like, I want to see them step in.
Mm-hmm. Joyce Wong, Matthew Walker, and Anil Pillai are members of the all-volunteer group St. Louis Cleanup Crew. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you,
Thank
Elaine.
You for having
Thank
us.
You, Elaine. Thanks for having us.
This episode was produced by Danny Wisentowski. audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.